Author. Introduction. All that glitters in travel spiel. Putting one's foot into one's mouth might seem like an impossible feat of contortion, requiring complex maneuvering skills. How and when I acquired and honed these enviable skills is less of interest than the fact that I have managed to deploy them time and time again. During my peregrinations through 65 countries in the past quarter of a century. And the consequences have ranged from the embarrassing to the confounding, the costly to the inconvenient, and occasionally to the downright dangerous. But how did I turn into that unwanted specimen? A middle-aged, middle-class mother of two, from a conservative Tam-Ram background, traveling solo, long before solo travel became fashionable among Indian women. It all started with my dear husband, now of 40 years, refusing to foray out of his comfort zone, home and office, whatever the seductions of the beyond, whereas I happen to have just the opposite inclination. On those rare work trips abroad on which I accompanied him, he would invariably assign a local chaperone to show me around all the touristy places. I felt hopelessly shackled and unjustly denied. Soon I developed an irrational disdain for planned trips. From the gloomy depths of a quotidian existence, I secretly longed for the thrills of impromptu forays, the imagined surprises of unpredictability, the pleasures of recklessness. I developed a persistent itch to explore the exciting, exquisite, and extraordinary world, which in my sights was waiting out there. The itch would soon scale up to a full-blown eczema. It could no longer be left untreated. That was more than two decades ago. I set out about looking for legitimate reasons to venture out of my discomfort zone. I ditched my stable but boring job in mainstream print journalism to foray into terra incognita, one that would hopefully open the doors to my imagined world of wonder. Serendipity led me in the direction of energy research. A sari-clad woman bumbling her way through seminar rooms full of smart pinstripes and black ties, poring over zigzagging charts and incomprehensible bar diagrams of NYMEX and Brent. My lexicon was filling up with mumbo-jumbo, API index, sour crude, crackers, etc. Before I knew it, I was processing from one conference to the next, having morphed rather quickly into an energy expert. Soon, invitations began to pour in, not just from Kochi or Kolkata, but also from organizers of road rallies and transnational motoring expeditions through petroleum-laden lands, Iran and Azerbaijan, where gas wells are still worshipped in fire temples, through the Siberian wastelands where oil gurgles just beneath the ice, through Central Asian steppes once roamed by Genghis Khan's Golden Horde, now crisscrossed by a welter of metal tubes. Driving in a motor car of 20 cars, ferrying four nationalities through four countries, I was shown wondrous pipelines through which ingenious Chinese engineers had coaxed Burmese oil and gas all the way from Sitwe to distant Yunnan. My perceived expertise on energy matters even bestowed on me the membership of the prestigious National Security Advisory Board, ostensibly to advise the Indian Prime Minister on energy-related issues. I also became full-time regulator of India's petroleum industry. I was now on a hurtling gravy train that dropped me off at exotic destinations with dependable frequency. There was a year when I was invited to, hold your breath, 18 international conferences. Being always in a hurry, there were PowerPoint presentations to be prepared, leave to be secured, family arrangements to be overseen. I had little time left to do serious homework on the destinations I was headed to. Dog-eared, lonely planet guides of yesteryears were my only beacons, often blinking or blanking out altogether, with outdated information on shutdown pensions or eateries. Eventually, the internet came along, promising a modicum of assurance. But its reliability levels were as yet untested, which is why I landed up in Czech Republic without a valid visa and was caught without yellow fever vaccination at Nairobi Airport. It never occurred to me to simply go on holidays depicted on glossy